This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful Friday. My name is Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City That Bahamas every Friday except holidays at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232. 325-4316 and 325-4259. And you can listen in cable to Bahamas. I think we get 961. I think our 969 channel is down on cable to Bahamas, but you can listen in to our sister station, and you can listen to some wonderful, wonderful topics, you know, sports, and et cetera. You can text us at 422-GR96. And I would just like to say to each and every one of you who listen to the show, I appreciate each and every one of you. I am glad that many of you like to listen, make you think a lot, you know. And I just appreciate each and every one of you who I come across who happens to either hear my voice or I'm just appreciative of each and every one of you, okay? And you brighten up my day to know that the little contribution that I'm doing is actually making a difference in the country. I appreciate each and every one of you. Today's topic, we're going to talk a little bit about Jed DeBlise, Do Enough, in 2023. We're going to play a flick on that, not as yet. And then we're going to talk about Senator support, judges, you know, being held accountable, you know. I've always said that there are things going on in the country where the low-class citizens are basically persecuted 100% of the law. But those who are in higher anarchy or higher position in the country, who hold high positions, paying jobs, you know, judges, police officers, politicians, some cases pastors, and some business people, you know, in many cases, we as a public, you know, we weigh in, you know, and we see the discrepancy in how the law judges and persecute person who have what you call immunity, you know. It means they have protection, you know, because they're in the maternity, you know, and they look after one another and they know people, you know, and they are able to bypass things instead of someone getting persecuted. What they do, even if the person guilty or not, just because the person has a certain position and they don't want it being known to the general public, they would actually do all they can to bypass the legal procedure. And then this person would not be held accountable, you know. But for the lower class citizen who commit small crime, or, you know, or a little major crime, you know, they are treated with 100% of the law, you know, persecuted 100% by the law. So we see that in the country, you know. And Now we are seeing it where an incident just happened where I think it's a former judge or judge, you know, withheld in someone who gave him funds to purchase some property or real estate, and he has failed yet to give the person back their funds, and the person has pressed charges and et cetera, now it's before the court. But because, you know, of his position, I guess, you know, he's immune, and it's taking a little while for the person who gave him the money to do the legal procedure has yet to be reimbursed. And now we have the senator, you know, who is saying now that, you know, judges should be held accountable, you know, because these are some of the things that goes on in our country for many, many years. And it only seems that the poor people or those who are committing crimes that we see getting marched up on Bay Street, or we call Parliament, you know, and we call it the Bank Lane Shuffle. And then, you know, when you're going on the bus, you call the bus to ride at 5, you know. So when you see the bus going up the forks or up the prison, we call it the ride at 5, you know. And then, you know, the Bank Lane Shuffle. So, yeah. So I just want to give some thanks to some persons who have been my partners over the years who have helped me to become who I am when I was looking for my way to contribute back to the country, you know, because you want to redeem yourself, you want to give back, you know, because you have a heart and you see that, you see the wrong that you did in your lifetime, and you're a changed person, you change yourself, and you're a changed person now, so you look at the country and the world from a different perspective. And you want to do everything in your power to help, you know. And I just want to give some thanks to some organizations and persons over the years that I've worked with. And I think this is the holiday seasons and everyone's going to enjoy themselves. So I just want to give my part as to just to give them a little shout out for the thanks and the many, many years of giving small contributions and believing in me and helping me to make a dream for the community become a reality, which in turn is going to be able to stabilize the community, where we'd see less unemployment, where we'd see people up in small business, more educated persons and more successful persons in the community that I reside in. So I'm very thankful. And I want to give the first person who gave me assistance. Many of you might hear this name, but his name is not other than Mr. John Stott. We call him John Bo. Many years when I was still in the gang and I wanted to find my way, I didn't know what to do, but I just was tired of getting locked up. I was tired of getting shoot out. I was tired of shooting at people. I just was tired, you know, with all the muckers, you know. I couldn't take it no more. You know, my life was just a living hell. And I wanted to find my way out, but I didn't know how to find my way out. And I was good at basketball, you know. And I said that, you know, if I could probably go into something positive, but how was I going to be able to do that? So anyway, I punned on the father, gave me an insight. He said, you know, just use your skills, you know, and try basketball. Now, I used to sell drugs as well, but at the same time, the police was on me every day. You know, I used to have the police come check me just about every day. So you can't, you're making money. And then the police come, so you wasn't making the money you want to make because, you know, you get the police, you're a gangster, so you ain't unstable, you know, up and down, and, you know, just, listen, just like a curse, all right? Basically, when you're doing wrong and you're doing these things, there's a price to pay, you know, curse, you know, I was just cursed, my luck bad, you know, just bad, you know. So I needed to get out. Having no funds, you know, and trying to do something positive was very difficult because I was a very violent, very, very violent young man. Anyone can tell you, all I was into was violence, okay? All kind of shooting, stabbing, you could name it, every day. So anyway, I was able to remember, I know the boss man, John Stott, we call him John Bo. He's on Blue Hill Road. His father was Mr. John Bo, and You would always see him on the end of Martin Street or King Street and giving away to all the kids who go to all the primary schools in that vicinity. You know, he'd be getting $5, $10. You know, and I'm talking about hundreds of kids. You know, he'd be over there stock up at big bag of money, you know. You know, he was a big number man, Mr. Bo. And he always wanted to give back. He used to do it every day. So he giving out like probably $5,000 a day sitting on there to all the kids from Woodcock, C.R. Walker, anyone, any children who was wearing uniform, he would give money to. His son is the same way. Many years ago, I went to his son. His son was the first one to sponsor me my trophies. Smallest set of trophies he sponsored me. He also helped me buy my shirt. I asked him, you know, if he could assist me. He knew me as a rough, tough guy on the streets. And he supported me. And that first basketball tournament was the best basketball tournament we ever had in A Street. We had the smallest set of trophies, you know. Smallest, I say, these trophies cost less than $300, right? And the shirts, them, you know, cost a little $700. The shirts was more expensive, but, you know, we going with a little small budget because this is my first time. And we had these nice, pretty small trophies and runners-up trophies, but we had eats and drinks throughout the tournament. It was like a 2 weeks tournament, first 2 weeks tournament. We had, man, that was crowded. It became a success. So I'd like to say thanks to Mr. John Bo, Mr. John Stoddard. And up to this day, he's having his Christmas dinner. And he's on Blue Hill Road. You know, he is a great human being. And he has contributed greatly, just like his father. And there are so many people goes there to him for help. So these are the people who are really making a difference in the country. So I'd like to give a shout out to my good friend, John Stoddard, or Mr. John Bo, for his community commitment to help any way possible that he can. And he's a millionaire, but he gives back. He do back to school. So thumbs up to Mr. John Bo, John Stott. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas, you and your family. You're a great man. You're a real ambassador of the country. And each and everyone in the community, and being a grandstand community, appreciate you, Mr. Stott. Then I want to give a shout out to my good friend, Miss Elaine Pinder, owner of Bamboo Shack. She has numerous locations around the country. I met her about 15 years ago. She's been supporting me for many, many years. She heard my story. She's been supporting me. She helped me paint up a lot of houses in the community of Hay Street free of charge. She helped me start the cleanup program that I started, that I've been doing ever since. Miss Elaine Pinder assisted me with the first cleanup in the community. And I told her, you know, there's a lot of abandoned houses and houses need to ping. And she wanted to contribute because she felt the desire, you know, and I was one who inspired her also because, you know, I'm on the grind. She looked at my life story. So she was fascinated by me as well. And she continued to support. And she bought a trailer load of ham and turkey, whole trailer load of groceries. And we just gave her thousands of dollars worth of Christmas items a few years ago, along with the Gems family, and also her daughter, Candy Pinder, who was being very, very helpful to me and helped carry my career. And that's basically where I got my career in media and on talk radio, starting at the Gems Radio, being a co-host with Debbie Bartlett. Yeah, I was co-host with Debbie Bartlett on Gems Radio. I tell it like it is, okay? And we started a revolution there. You know, so I'd like to give thanks to also Ms. Deborah Bartlett. Special thanks to Ms. Elaine Pinder. She is a great businesswoman. She is a great human being. She just likes to give on true dedicated generosity. She has been helping me tremendously in the community over the years, and we're continuing to build. So I'd like to give a shout out to Ms. Elaine Pinder, owner of Bamboo Shack, and our wonderful, beautiful daughter, Gandhi Pinder, and the whole team at Bamboo Shack. Then I'd like to give a special request to Mr. Antonius Roberts, our most famous artist. I met him about 10 years ago, and this led to me meeting a lot of artists around the country, and this would lead to the Wall of Respect that was spearheaded by Mr. Ed Dorsett, Yuli Wogus, and myself, where we have a wall that has the Martin Luther King drawings on it. You have a lot of other artists who did some murals on the wall. And we call it the Wall of Respect. We have the, what was the lady's name? The suffrage movement on the wall as well. On the wall, you know, our heroes. And many other persons of renown. And that was the idea of, like I said, Mr. Ed Dorset, Yuli Vogas, the National Art Gallery, and Miss Antonia Roberts. And the whole idea was to beautify and put murals on the walls of Lewis Street and then continue to expand it to beautify and make it a tourist attraction. And we're continuing again. And Miss Antonia Roberts opened so many doors for me that I can't even imagine, you know, what he has done for me personally to help my community. And I just want to give a thumbs up to our number one artist in the Bahamas, Mr. Antonio Roberts, for his dedicated support of community development. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to my very good friends, Yuli and Amanda, Amanda Culson and Yuli Vogas, husband and wife. They have been supporting me for the last 10 years. They mean a lot to me. Yuli has been on the ground. He is the creator at the Central Bank of Nassau. Amanda Culson was a talk show host on Guardian Radio. She recently left. She's no longer the director at the National Art Gallery. She now is doing other job description elsewhere, very successful. I'd like to give a shout out to her and her husband who are being dedicated to help spread the news and help bring assistance and spread the word, bring persons to assist in anything that I'm doing in the community to help beautify or help develop the community. I'd like to also give a shout out to Yuli Vogas and his beautiful wife, Amanda Culson. Also, Yuli and Amanda played a very important role of me getting this platform on Guardian Radio. They played a very instrumental role in me having this platform along with the owner. And I'd like to thank also the former general manager, Mr. Carlton Smith, for his generosity of accepting me as a person with no prior experience on radio to be able to come on one of the nation's leading stations to have a platform to talk about what's happening in the inner city. And that contains about the prison, it contains about politics, it contains about religion, it contains about what is affecting the lives of Bahamian people and what can we do to solve it. And we use this opportunity of my vast experience being a part of the criminal element of law enforcement, being a part of politics, dealing with the late great Sir Lyndon Penland, to former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie, to having connections and working with former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, Hubert Ingraham, and then having the opportunity to work with many ministers of national security and many different government departments that has passed legislation on the most important matters. And I'm talking about how we can help and empower the persons in the inner city. How can we fix their houses? How can we change their lives around? How we can get investments? And so they could have all the tools like building community centers and finding ways we could bring a small business in the community and get rid of dialect vehicles and repair all the rundown homes in the community and et cetera. And to help improve it, you know. I also like to give a shout out to former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie, because about 25, 30 years ago, we met Mr. Christie, and many asked if he is successful in being the Prime Minister, what are some of the suggestions and ideas and solutions that we could come up with that he could present to his cabinet ministers on matters that are the most important. One of the things that he's very concerned about, he was concerned about the inner city communities, because he felt that it needed urgent help. Now, I'm not saying this to say, you know, but he did this, even though me and him followed, but we gave him some ideas on what we'd like to see happen. We were talking about the run-on house and the dialect vehicles and et cetera and et cetera. And he wrote it down. And when he was able to win the general election, he started a program, Urban Renewal. So as Mr. Christie, you know, was a very popular prime minister, but he was also a very unpopular prime minister with many, because of the way he governed. Many of them were looking for him to fire certain cabinet officials, and they said that he was letting them get away with just about anything without firing them or shuffling them. You know, but tell you the truth, Mr. Christie has helped many Bahamians in the country. And so when you're looking at home repair in the country, fixing the doors, fixing the roof, refurnishing homes under Urban Renewal, that's Mr. Christie. Like I said, that advice was given to him by a group of young men who was from the streets, and I was one of them who gave the idea. And when we sit down with Mr. Christie at his office on, I think it's Shirley Street and Bay Street, it was a law office between him, Hewitt Ingram, and Perry Christie, and we sit down there, and I think it was Luke Bell sitting in who invited us. And Luke Bell, father was Philip Bell from Elucho, who was MP. So that's how we ended up meeting through Luke Bell. And my friend Troy was there, and he sat down to the table. So, yes, that's Mr. Christie. So the home repair you see going on in the country right now, that's Mr. Christie. So he did some, he ain't did enough, but everyone was still there. I think it'd be a very more successful program if we really push it out to say, it's really Urban Renewal. Let's put the resources there. Let's strategize and let's use Urban Renewal the way it's supposed to be used. And that is to change the environment in the city community. Okay? I want to give a shout out to my special friend now. My special friend. This lady, she changed everything for me. When I was at my last straw, where I had nowhere to turn, she came to my aid, and that's Miss Alexander Millis. She was the past president of the Runfully Home for Children. I met her after engagement with C.B. Moss on my Fasten Park, that's on Hay Street, and I met her. She came to me roughly over, I'd say, going on 13, 15 years. And I couldn't believe it. This is a Caucasian lady. She's a Bahamian, real Bahamian, who care. And she heard my cry because she care about children. She care about the country. She came to my assistance. And she said, you know, I don't have no money like that. But what I have is some connections with some people who I think you can really use. But you have to be sincere, you have to be trustworthy and honest, because my credibility is on the line, because I'm going to introduce you to these people. And I looked at her and I said, wow, opportunities are going to come to me, and I'm going to make sure I have to be honest as much as possible. I have to show integrity, you know, and principle and understanding. And she introduced me to some people from all around the world, the Bahamas. And each and every one of them I meet, I talk to them the same way I talk to her. So when I meet them, because I only meet them through her connection, so I also respect to all those who I meet from the connection I made with her, and I'm very respectful to each and every one of them. And she has opened so many doors for me that I can't even tell you, you know. So I appreciate Ms. Alexander Miller. She has done tremendously. She introduced me to Lucas Metropolis. Lucas Metropolis is the director, is the president of Lenahan Bahamas. He is the one who came to the Bahamas, visited the Miller's family. And the same time I met Ms. Miller, he was here doing a program, Qualification for Families in the United States of America. He's an American citizen. He was going to Florida University. He has graduated with a high degree. And she saw what I was doing in the inner city community at my residence, where I had my own center that I was building at my place of residence where I would house kids and get them on field trips and who did good. And next year, I'd let them use the computer. Besides doing the basketball program, I was doing a lot of little small stuff with the kids and always have a little feeding program. And the kids' birthday, I'd be celebrating by me just to keep the neighborhood going. Yeah, so Ms. Mayless was able to introduce me to Lucas. And Lucas, you know, came down, he asked me, how can he assist? So we worked together for about 1 year. And then he said, how can I assist? I said, you know what, Lucas? I was thinking about doing a community center by me, but I need to do something for me so that I could have some finance coming in for me. So I'm thinking about if we could find a property somewhere in the community, and if you could talk to somebody and get some funds, probably with $70,000 or $80,000, we probably could buy a property and then build a community center, and then we have the proper training with specialists coming in. And you know a lot of people, fishermen, educators, architects, and they say if we could bring them there to the center and we start to teach these kids about technical training programs. We'd have some electrician, and he liked the idea. And, you know, we went around, and then we ended up bucking Mr. Dorset from Eastgate Gospel Chapel Church. And then we was on the same par, and then the Dorset family donated the property. Now, we are growing that center. Now we've been in a brand new state-of-the-art center through Lewis Street. So we're going to have two centers through Lewis Street. We're also building a culinary kitchen on Hay Street to teach culinary cooking to the residents, young or old in the community, so that you could start your own business and you can learn how to cook different food in Italian and et cetera. So that's going to be established on Hay Street. So I want to give a thanks out again to Lucas Metropolis, Ms. Sheila Pritchett, and all this happened from Ms. Alexander Mayless. Meet Ms. Alexander Mayless, met Antonio Roberts, and Tony Roberts met, you know, and it just went down the line and down the line and down the line. And then I want to give a special request to the Simonettes, Brent and Robin Simonette. I know Mr. Simonette for many, many years. I met him. He sponsored me a few times the basketball tournament. And I never went back to him. I had his number for many, many years because when I look at people who are our position of wealthy people, I don't look at them as wealthy people. That's their own. I got to go out and get my own. You know what I mean? So I don't look at what people get. My grandmother always tell me in life, you can't watch what no one get. You got to worry about you and focus on you. You understand? If that's someone want, you don't need to look at it or ask for it. If someone want to do something for you, they'd come to you and give it to you. But don't look at somebody else's things and you want it and be jealous. No, you got to set your own path. So, yeah, and I had this number for many, many years. And recently when we opened the first stage of the first community center on Lewis Street, Lennon Community Center, Ms. Mayless called me and I talked to Mrs. Simonette. And then she told me her husband wanted to speak with me. Say, you know, he liked the work that I'm doing in the community and the country because they read the newspaper. And he said, they could see I sincere and that I'm committed, that I'm not about money, I'm not about fame. I have all those things. I don't have no money now. I'm struggling just like anyone, you know? But I'm thankful that the Father blessed me, that I don't go hungry, and I have smart enough to put a roof over my head. And I'm still climbing, you know? Next couple of months, my restaurant could be finished, and I could be able to have financially be stable, you know? So, like I say, and ever since they have been assisting Lennon Bombers, they've been assisting with the ideas of cleaning up the area, make sure we get rid of all the rats, make sure we get all the dialect vehicles, make sure, you know, yards could get fenced and building a garden, anything that I'm involved in, they assist me once it makes sense. You understand? Once it makes sense. And you're seeing the progress. If you look at Lewis Street from 10 years ago, there were so many abandoned houses on Lewis Street. You can see we have an urban renewal center. We have We have a new center being built. We have two centers being built. We have three centers on Lewis Creek. We had numerous abandoned houses. We have two more. We only have two abandoned houses left on Lewis Creek. All the yards now are getting cleaned and fencing. And like I said, development is coming to the community. Yeah. So I'd like to give a shout out to Robin Simonet and Mrs. Robin Simonet and Mr. Brent Simonet for their continuous contribution. And Mr. Simonet has been assisting in the community for over 20 years. He assists Bishop Ferguson of the Big Harvest Community Center to Woods Alley. Mr. Simonet has been assisting for many, many years. And he don't like for no one to even use his name. But why use people's name? Because we live in this country and we don't know what people is do to help, you know. And they like to remain anonymous. So sometimes I just say these things just to put it out there that you could be out there judging people, right? But you don't know where people's heart is. And you got to be able to make a connection to people. I was able to make a connection. And that's you, the Father. You understand? He'd open doors for you if you be sincere. He'd open avenues for you. Doors that were closed, he would open for you. You know, that curse I had when I was doing all the foolishness when I was young and hurting people and shooting gun and gossiping on people and watching people dance and ain't listening to my grandma. When I started to change my life around and be more positive, all kind of things change. My luck ain't so bad no more. I just bad with a woman. But I look like again lucky now. You know? Look like the Father blessed me with a nice young lady. I mean, not saying all ain't nice, you know, but you know how BMN ladies, they really rough and tough now. I don't know what we can do to persuade them that, you know, we can be together for 15, 20 years and work on a future plan. I could help you and you could help me. You know, and we could help one another achieve our goal. There's female doing, we look at the future. You know, it's now. And why am I the guy saying, man, like, baby, building my house, you know, in 5 years, you know, you ain't got to pay no rent. You know, we could open one small business. And all that, they want what they could get now. And yes, guess what? They leave that poison and still going paying rent, and they still ain't getting nowhere. You got to learn the way to get it. So our female's kind of difficult. And then we have some lousy man who won't have no plan. So it's vice versa. Yeah. So again, I'd like to give a shout out to the Simonets for their continued support. We're going to have a very beautiful community in Lewis Street, H Street, and Taylor Street. Okay? I want people understand that in order to get rid of the crime problem in our community, you have to come up with a solution and a plan. And Mr. Simonet, they won't even support me because I have a plan, you know. You think they're supporting me if I didn't have a plan? I'm doing the plan, you know. You understand? And supporting means not coming to me and dumping out. No. Even doing community garden, we like to work on that. I get a budget for that, and I do that. And we need to clean this yard, yeah? Like that. That's how it works. You see? And that's progress. You know? And that's the kind of connection the Father and God made that. That's how I met Ms. Alexander. So to all y'all out there, if you change your ways, right, a lot of doors that open for you. You understand? But if you continue to be little people, to gossip against people, have bad intentions, and keep and how you know whatever it is, you're not gonna get nowhere like that. Watching people, talking with people, why are you watching and talking with people? And people are getting somewhere in life. They building a house. They get a bank account. Why is you watching them and saying things with people, and you using your energy? They using the energy to get what they want so they can live good. And that's why a lot of us ain't getting nowhere in life. Anyway, my last one is the Guardian Radio. I already said that. The Guardian Radio. Again, I'd like to also say that the new general manager, Dwight Scrawn, for also believing in me. And to all the radio talk shows on Guardian, C. Newey is doing an extremely great job. You know, Miss Aaron Green. You know, he's calling him Naughty by Nature was on earlier with the sports, you know. He's doing a tremendously good job. General manager early in the morning. Dwight Scrawn. You know, he's there with his sidekick. And they do a tremendous job. I want to congratulate each and every one of them on doing such a great job every day. You know, and I think the people appreciate them around the country. And I appreciate you guys too, even though we are all in the same boat. And I like to encourage some of the other talk show hosts in the country talk more about the inner city communities. So collectively, we could be that change. You know, sometimes I'm talking about what needs to happen and how we could talk on the matters that are very important simultaneously. I think that a lot of talk show hostess around the country, if we speak simultaneously together as a unified on certain matters and we use our voice, I think that we could be the big change that this country looking for. You know, we might not be on one accord, but I know definitely, you know, we all can come together and use our voice and say, hey, we need to focus on poverty, we need to focus on crime, we know what it is, and we need to just push for that and make sure that the powers to be do not, what do they call it, cancel and review, you know, we need a continuous solution that we continue where PLPOF and them comes in. We're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Stream, browse, and play with up to 1 gig speed.
That's a caller. Caller, I think you have something that is playing. Yeah. Last but least, I would like to give a special request to Lady Sharon Wilson, the wife of Sir Frankie Wilson. I mean, yes, the wife of Sir Frankie Wilson. Me and Miss Wilson did some work 15 years ago. She was the woman's branch chair lady. At that time, she requested me to be in attendance to get some ideas on what she could present to the PLP branch team at the time that they can use going into the general election as their, you know, their priority. And we gave them about 10 plans, Lady Cheryl Wilson, in doing so. It contains a lot of stuff, you know, like small business, second chance, and she was able to present that to the Minister of National Security, Dr. Bernard Nordich. And then they were able to pass in the parliament. So I'd like to give a special thanks to Lady Cheryl Wilson on our collaboration to get onto this day. That legislation that was passed under the Ministry of National Security is still ongoing today. And she has made changes in the country. So I'd like to say thanks to her as well. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. Caller, you there?
Hey, it's Coach.
Hey, what's it?
Hey, it's Sparky.
And I'd like to give a special hold on Sparky. And I'd like to give a special shout out to my troublesome friend Sparky for such a wonderful job on the talk show around the country. My good friend Sparky. And he's troublesome too. Go ahead, Spark.
Don't call me troublesome, just call me the buck. What? Just call me the bucket mouth master and the ratchet jockey. Now,
since
Church.
Yes, sir.
Since everybody closing down everything, I'm going to serve this white boy they call Jesus, God, and everything.
Yes, sir.
Again, we're going to do the same thing every year.
And wonder why
I would like to thank you, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
For what you did for us every Friday evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And people talk about your diction and your use of the English language word that they say you mess up my time like that. But listen, we are Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own dialect like the Jamaicans got this.
Mm-hmm.
How to pronounce this. THs and all them things. Hey. Hold on, because they go on to school and get educated and come back with their master's degrees and things.
And they're smart as me.
I believe they're better than everybody.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, when everybody live in that doggone graveyard, Church, Whether you're prime minister, king's queen's what? Then you lay in that graveyard. There's nobody higher than nobody.
That's right, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So I am winding down.
Mm-hmm.
I just went down. I paid off everything. Good. I Sparky paid off everybody you owe this year.
Oh, yes.
Except the mortgage corporation, I still owe a mortgage.
All right.
Light bill paid. Liquor bill paid. Water bill paid. Tukuchi bill paid. Everybody paid.
Sparky, come on, man. Sparky, 72
again. All right, hold on.
Go ahead, buddy.
Church. Hey. I just wanted to come into the new year.
Yes, sir.
Not owing anybody.
Yes, sir. I did the same thing.
But all of us owe the government because they're taxing us to death.
Yes, sir.
Better your PMP, FNM, DOI, UBP.
We get taxed to death.
They're taxing us to death.
Yes, sir.
And then we start January again. What do you always say, Sparky? January and February every year is
everyone
the hardest
broke. Everyone
month
broke.
Of the year of all of us, right?
Everyone broke.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Should I write around?
You're right. Everyone say Johnny and Fred is out of spot.
Every year. Trust, how long we been doing it? Every year they say.
30 years now. 40
every
years.
Every year
doing
they say January and February is the hottest month of the year for all the hangmen.
Yes.
All year everybody's complaining about the cost of living and how everything's so high.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get in the mall at Marathon the other day. No parking space.
Wow.
Can't even get in some of the shops. Wow. All these broke people who ain't got no money in the mall of Marathon. Now, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
They must have got ASU or they going to the bank and get a loan. Because they was crying, but PLP and FNM all year, and everybody broke. But in Christmas, they got money. Hello, Scrooge?
I listen.
Scrooge, you still around the corner by the old St. Francis Hotel?
Yes, sir.
I come in to hear you, man. Scrooge, because me and you had a talk, because we keep talking the same thing over and over and over and over, and nothing changes, eh?
Yeah, that's why I make sure something changes. That's why I'm talking, but I'm also making a lot of changes in my community.
Now, hold on. Before I go to school, let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
On this blessed Friday evening, how come all the foreigners come into our country and they live like kings and queens?
You just said it just now.
How come
we put down one
corner another you go to in this country,
because
Chinese got bar, liquor, and restaurant?
Because they smart enough to see the resources, and we always trying to pull down one another, the Black Rob syndrome.
How come the Haymans can't get the same license with the Chinese there?
Because the Chinese get a Chinese association, and they support all Chinese business. They have one set of lawyers, okay, support all them.
I got so much things to ask you. Like, you know, it was against the law one time ago to have a bar cross the road from a church or a school.
But it ain't so bad. Don't have a bar now because the church is a business now.
You know the Chinese, that's good. Do you know the Chinese
in Delaware
got a bar with selling food, clothes, and liquor across from Yellow Elder primary school?
Yeah. At least they were smart enough, eh?
Good.
They had, like,
listen to me.
Hey.
You know, I go in there because I think about the Guinness and things. I go in there, and the woman bringing her little child in the Chinese bar with the uniform to order collect for her and order Chinese food for the child in the child uniform.
See, I guess the restaurant.
So where you see the problem start? The problem starts right in the home.
Yes, yes.
The woman with her little daughter in the doggone school uniform
in the bar,
in a Chinese bar, ordering the food for the child and ordering to collect water.
And there's a law against that, and you should be brought up on charges of neglect.
Now, let me ask you a question before I go. How do you think the Chinese get these licenses?
Easy, Sparky.
Underneath the table, there's a politician.
I gotta go. Yes,
sir.
Thank you very much. I gotta talk real quick. Sparky made some good points. That's the Chinese Association. We have the Indian Association. We have the Life of Key Association. If you remember a few years back when Hubert Ingram, Hubert Minnis, was the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He made a statement where he's going to tax rich people with Life at Key. And then in response, we saw where the Life at Key business owners, you know, they got their team of lawyers, and they say, well, they're going to boycott the Bahamas now. These business people talk about all the business they get here. So when they started to say they're going to boycott, they said how much employees they have employed around the country, and they're talking in the thousands. And their payroll is in the millions. So immediately that threat that the former prime minister, Dr. Minnis, said, he retracted, because they have an association, and each one of them have their personal lawyer, but they have one lawyer that speaks for them, just like the Chinese have their Chinese association, the Indian has their Indian association, the Haitians has the Haitians association, as you can see. You know, when those things were discussed a few months ago on ZNS News, where we saw they were speaking out, and we saw they have their association. So these people have association, and then their association make their presentation to government. And then there's treaty signed with the Chinese government and the Bahamas government here. So there are a lot of things going on behind the closed door. And people say, you know, about my English. Listen to me, buddy. I from the island. I from the Bahamas. Huh? I speak broken English. I ain't trying to be no British. Huh? We say, boy, hey, and you know, that's how we talk. Some of us stutter, I stutter. That's how we talk. And you say the prime minister brave, they was going to talk. Huh? But the man is the prime minister. And if they say, I can't talk, at least they can say one thing. I'm a very, very smart and educated young man. You understand? You can't come around me. And I'm also a doer. And if they want to talk about my English, let me just explain to you. Did you hear all those stuff that I was involved with my English? And I was able to work with the smartest set of people in the highest government office in the country, was able to sit down with me and understand every word that I'm saying, because I frank with my English. You know, I ain't coming to using these big words. No. So, and you ain't as smart as me, right? And I ain't better than no one. The only thing I'm better than people is this. And how I conduct myself and how I treat people. That's how I'm better than somebody. I ain't gonna take advantage of nobody. I ain't gonna gossip with nobody. I ain't gonna watch nobody. I ain't gonna hurt nobody who ain't trying to hurt me. And I'm always looking out for the best. I always looking out for the best of each and every individual that I come across. And that's what makes me a different person. I'm always happy to see someone making progress. That's the only thing that makes me better than the next person. You understand? Other than that, like Sparky said, when we dead, we go in the grave. We can take this last call. Go ahead, caller. We can take this last call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scooter. Hey, a pleasant good evening to you. And listen, I want to commend you for, you know, being on the radio. Like, I do remember when you came on, and of course you hatcheted the Queen's English. But the message was clear. And
yes,
plain.
Sir. Go ahead,
sir. The
Bible
says that God takes sometimes the simple things of the world to confound the wise.
Yes, sir.
And I noticed, you know, listen, as somebody who perhaps is a bit older than you.
Yes, sir.
I want to commend you that always give God the praise
yes,
and
sir.
The glory.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
just
sir.
Just remember where you were.
Yes, sir.
Have a grateful heart.
Yes,
like
sir.
how you have been thanking those individuals.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said when he healed the 10 lepers.
Yes, sir.
Only one turned back.
Wow.
One turned back to say thanks.
Wow.
So always be thankful.
Yes,
because
sir.
Because a thankful heart is a grateful heart.
And I'm very thankful, sir.
You know, and the Bible says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
That's right.
Lean not upon your own.
That's right.
In all your ways, acknowledge him, and
yes,
God
sir.
Will direct your path.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if you went, what kind of education that you didn't get. You see, a lot of the people who are rich and who have accumulated wealth, many of them didn't even finish school.
You're correct, sir.
So it's not about the education. God has given all of us a gift.
Yes, sir.
And you have found your gifting.
Yes, sir.
And he The Bible says that he will open doors for you. He will go ahead of you.
Yes, sir.
If you put him first.
You see, I was saying a little earlier how he opened all those doors for me. And I was crazy facing him when they started, though.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Listen here. Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
I have proven him. Okay. I have proven him. I have been down, but I can look back.
Yes, sir.
And I can say, but God.
Yes, sir.
I should have been whatever you could
yes,
put in there.
Yes, I understand what you said. Yes, sir.
But God, okay?
Yes, sir.
But God, you know. So, listen, give God thanks and praise every day.
Father,
and
I give
you
thanks.
Say, continue to help people.
Yes, sir.
Because the Bible says when you give to the poor,
you do for him.
You lend to God.
So you could say that to me, you could say that one more time for all those listening.
No, he said that he that give it to the poor, lend it. You are lending it to God, and the Bible says that God will raise you up.
Yes.
On your bed of affliction.
And that's exactly what happened to me in my life.
That is the promise. Yes. So, you know,
and it's the truth. It's the truth, because I'm a living a prime example.
You will always be blessed.
Yes, sir.
If your hands are not closed.
Yes, sir.
Because when your hands are closed, you're not able to receive anything.
Yes, sir.
You know? And you like it. You know, we brought nothing into this world.
I mean, carry nothing.
And we can't carry nothing.
Honestly.
So if you could help somebody along the way, then your living would not be in vain. So, Brother Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I wish you all the best. Continue to do what you do. And may God continue to richly bless you and your family in the upcoming year.
Wow. Amazing.
Have a good night, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And the same to you, sir. And I really appreciate every word you said. And I was very touching. I just want to say to the general public, to you as well, to each and every one of you, if you change your ways, there are going to be so many doors open to you. Let me just explain this to you. I used to sell drugs for a living, okay? Right. That's what I used to survive on, selling $5 pocket and selling $5 nickel bag.
Yeah.
Okay? And I had to give that up. And you know this now, I don't have no income coming in whatsoever, and I don't know what to turn to or what. And then when I stop it, I couldn't even hustle a dollar.
Right.
Everyone started to say, and oh, he fall up, and
yeah,
that's good for him, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I trying to find my way, and eventually, the door just started to open.
Right,
you know, so, yes,
because
sir.
You know, Scrooge, the Bible, and I always go back to the Bible. Don't mind what Sparky say. The Word of God is true. It's true.
Yes, it is true.
You know, man will look on the outside,
but then
they will judge you by looking on the outside. But see, God saw your heart.
Yes,
he
sir.
Knew you wanted to change.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And so he knew what was in you. And so he began to open up, put some people in place. You see?
Yes, sir.
You don't need a whole lot of people.
No, sir.
You just need one person.
That's all. That's all. You say one lady, Miss Alexander Miller.
You see?
One woman.
When there's a story in the Bible when Nehemiah wanted to build, he wanted to rebuild the walls back home. He just got a letter from the king.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And that letter was able, he was just able to pass whatever he wanted.
Yes, sir.
He got.
Wow.
So you don't need a whole lot of people.
No.
God, no. You just need the right person.
That's right.
To do that for you, buddy.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Be encouraged, man.
Yeah, and thank you very much. You enjoy your night, sir. And I'm very encouraged. I'm very encouraged. Thank you very much. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Are they there? I guess they left.
Hello, hello.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I like your story, you know. You know, it takes a lot of courage, you know, from the hustle, right? But, you know, see God provide, you know, simple things we have to learn how to deal with, right, Scoochie? Like, just the other day, you know, we had a lot of high winds, right?
Yeah.
You know, the metal tin, we was getting ready to do some little repairs on the tank, the septic tank. I got some sheet of the corrugated tin roof, right? The breeze blew. I was opening the gate, and I had my back turned, right? And the breeze, you don't believe it, the breeze blew it, right?
Yeah.
And it just missed my little bony face, right?
Wow.
Scoochie, you know, like, I think I had to give thanks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't even see it coming, right?
What?
That's why I had the gate open, right? It landed and hit the gate because the gate little taller than me.
That's the guiding angel.
Yeah, so you understand. So, but I saw faith in God. So I don't know. I don't think Sparky would have said anything against the word of God, but Scusi, between the word of God, listen to me. When me and you read the scriptures, right, Scusi?
Hey.
True meditation and true God, you know, be wise and sweet, smart and yeah. smart, right? So what happened is now we are able to discern. So a mind, a thinking mind, a meditating mind can always discern truth from lies, separate truth from lies, Scusi.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People could say one thing to you, but you could observe them there.
Yeah.
I could say something, you could know where it's truthful,
you could
aphorism,
you could dissect
or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not about the big words. To me, right, Scusi, me and you in the same boat, you know, I fight against the status quo for those in the know. You know that, Scusi.
Yeah.
I'm not intimidated by the degrees with no temperatures, PhD, whatever degree, and I respect some of them, but I've seen people with PhD spew garbage. I've seen people with master's degrees spew garbage. Because what happens, you understand what I'm saying?
Look at the COVID-19 pandemic, all them experts and all them dropped the ball.
Scusi, listen.
All them dropped the ball.
Hey, military, listen to me. I'm an expert, you know. But what I was a person who was willing to disclose the truth.
Yeah.
You know, such thing as no expert, because all right. the expert, you know, not being an
Well, they was the
I
expert.
I never came to cure no one, but they still get mad at me, you know. I never come and say I got a cure for nothing, because
I may
do the same thing with Dr. Zabi, right? You understand what I'm saying?
In 50, so, I haven't cut you off, right? But 50... all those experts of the World Health Organization and what you were saying and many others were saying, you know, that we didn't need to lock down the country and they go on lockdown the country. What they come out and say afterwards? All the experts, all the people who went all about all these school and all of them was wrong. All of them was wrong.
But Scusi, but what you think, for me, all right, like a brother has come on same time as trying to discredit me. Some people apologize to me. Some people never give me credence. And they say, well, oh, you know, one is listening to you and who I is and wait. But you don't really get it. 52. I mean, excuse me, as I was saying, it was the message. It was not me.
What happened to Dr. Fauci? What happened to Dr. Fauci?
But, no, but excuse me, I want to ask you this, man.
Hey, go ahead.
I want to know you learned.
Excuse me.
At the end of the day, what you think my most important message was?
Yeah,
forget
most...
what I was really reiterating over and over. Two words, antigenic shift.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason why they cannot cure influenza, Scusi. That was really the basis of the
You said, oh, you said this, Stans. I listened to you.
They cannot cure the flu, Scusi, because of antigenic shift
you
and
said
virus reassortment. It was basic science that I wanted everybody to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the certain intricacies about the immune system. Scusi, if you listen to the words I'm saying,
you was
you know,
right.
When I thought, when it really wasn't about me. So they want me to say big enough me, but then they want gas like me as to say I wasn't saying nothing with sense.
Mm-hmm.
How could you do that? When people already see people approaching me in the food store, nurses, doctors, people, everyday people, and when they see me with the locks in my head, oh, this 52, I know the voice somewhere, way. When I proudly talk to these people, I'm humble person, sometimes they see me in a car, they see me in a bicycle. You understand? But
so
they from the road, so we know what time it is. So
right.
See what you say you do. I respect that, you know, Scusi.
Yeah.
But let the people know that it ain't worrying them coming by people houses in the inner city with the youth, them with the big gun, them killing the people, them, and running up the people, them, and crying or like, put everyone in this place and that place. Man, you're the person in charge for murder. You're going on a warrant. You're going on a hearsay. And on top of that, right, people are saying the people moving funds while they search it. So put the cameras on their hand and on their eyes.
Yeah,
that's a better body cameras. You can't come in people's house without cameras.
I got to
someone
that.
Home by themselves.
I'm going to read.
Then police come by you.
We're going to talk about it right now as soon as you finish.
Yeah, but that's the thing here. But it's trouble. Another thing, Scusi.
Go ahead.
I'd like to touch on this, Spaghi. You know the sense the taxes increase, they've been treating us worse? You buy stuff for your children. You're buying stuff for you. Scusi, when I see the amount of price they pay on one jacket they buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say, you think that's right, man? I give the government all this money for one jacket. They collecting money from me every minute now because I get children. I spend this money, but I ain't getting no reciprocity, Scusi.
Yeah.
Scusi, they push my mother-in-law in the corner. They push my mother-in-law in the corner in the hospital in the wheelchair and let her dead, man. They start paying attention until she start warming, man. Woman had a heart problem, brother.
Wow.
They sit right there and had the woman gone dead. All the children, even my grandson growing up, but all the grandchild, man,
wow.
Right now.
Sorry.
My mother them dead. He had one grandmother live. I look at this little youth. Man, you know this to go around the Grammy for Scusi.
Oh.
Scusi, I can send you a picture of my little youth and my little daughter. I can send them to the one boy and they can send them to you, yeah? So you can see what I'm up against. I love my children more than anything else in this world, bitch. Bless them.
Thank you very much. 52. You did a wonderful job of challenging the world. And many of us were on the same page as you who were from the inner city community as well. And we challenged the world. And we were saying, you know, this is the flu. We were saying that, you know, the Prime Minister had a lockdown in the country. There's something going on with the World Health Organization. And all it was a way to try and take away people's right and put the World Health Organization in charge of the world government so that they can decide on what comes in the country and what goes with the country. And even though, yeah, there was a COVID-19, but it didn't call all the strict measures. Because at the end of the day, look what happened now. We ain't wearing no masks. We roaming free. Huh? Everything is back to normal. So definitely, there was some truth to what 52 was saying. There's some truth to what my cousin was saying. There's some truth to what I was speaking on. And many others who were speaking. Those doctors who were fired and who said the same thing 52 was saying, you know, around the world, and they were fired. So, yes, you're talking about educated people, people who went to colleges and doctors and pharmacists and all this stuff. All of them were there present. And all of them was the World Health Organization. And at the end of the day, what happened? People now are looking to sue for the COVID-19 vaccinated shot. Okay? Insurance companies don't even want to pay people who take the vaccine because they're saying that it is not their responsibility. You take it at your own risk. You know, that's how serious it was. So, yes. I just want to read what this caller said. This message said, good evening. Your story is truly an inspiring one, brother. And that the caller who spoke those words of God brought tears to my eyes. Needed to hear this. Keep it up. Yes, and that's what we want to do, to inspire each and every one of you. You know, and that's what we are here for, you know. And like I said, you know, I changed my life around. And I was violent. Listen to me. Ain't much guys was violent as me. You know, there were many violent guys in the streets, you know. But I was violent. All I was into was just violence. And not only that, like I tell people, I used to sell drugs too. Okay? And changing my life around was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm so happy now to put smiles on kids' face and to be able to help the older people in the community and to help people on the whole. And then I could go anywhere in the country. I don't have to watch over my back. And there's so many people who respect me in the country. So I'm very grateful. And I'm glad I take this part in my life to make a difference in my country that I reside in. Yeah. So, yes. I'm glad we inspired you. And, yes, God, we call him Yahweh. And we call Jesus, Yahshua, they are the original name. There are many other names, but these are the original names of the Father and Son. And we even getting to realize that now, because we also being lied to about the original name of the Father and about the original color about the Father. And it's now we getting to realize, and our mind starting to open. So we are seeing a change in our education and our history, you know. We are getting more enlightened, like 52 is saying. Okay, I have a few more minutes on the show, so let me get to this part of the show. 50 talk about the beliefs and, you know, claiming that sometimes that when they go to poisonous host in the inner city community and when they go inside, sometimes they don't have search warrant, they just boldly go in. And in cases, things go missing, you know? And there's no justice. You know, it goes unnoticed. But anyway, let me play this clip. Ali, we can play the clip if we still get it there, because we can play this one. And then we can start the show with that.
And based on Eyewitness News records, the country would have recorded 100 homicides, with the most recent one taking place on Saturday past, involving a 24-year-old male who was shot multiple times outside a local bar on Village Road. While police would have also noted back in August that they would have seen an uptick in sex crimes, today we went to the public to get their feedback on crime solutions.
The government and the police are doing the best they can do under the circumstances, in all fairness. If others could do it better, they should get into free. Most say plenty of things, but those who are involved in fighting crime and so forth, they go through a lot of stuff.
Police, they're doing a very good job. And I celebrate the job that they're doing. I want to say that if we're going to put a focus on any aspect of the society as it relates to crime, the family unit is where we need to put the focus. Not in terms of blame, But in terms of empowerment.
Earlier this year, the Commissioner of Police rolled out a robust policing plan, which includes the revitalization of community policing, a zero-tolerance approach for minor and major crimes, along with the expansion of police capacity. Notably, saturation patrol was a key crime tactic for the police this year.
That can work, as I live in the West, and for that area, I've been seeing a lot of police on patrol. So that can work. That is a good idea that he came up with.
Saturation patrol work, okay? And so that's another medicine that can be used to help deal with the ailment of crime. Okay, again, they're doing the best they can.
You were able to see teams in different neighborhoods. You were able to see police officers focus on what have been identified as hot areas. I want to celebrate that initiative.
The top cop has gone on record to say tackling the issue of crime isn't just a police issue. However, it's a community effort. And these residents agree.
We all ought to be on board. This is our country. Let us all form hands together, collectively. Let us fight crime. The police can, in of itself, deal with crime. Policing is by consent of the population. And so it's incumbent on all of us be mindful that it takes the collective need to fight crime.
So we help people do commit crime, small crime, petty crime, and they hide them away. Why hide them? Because they're going to do a bigger crime. So if you know somebody that did a crime, let the police know, let the authorities know. Because one thing leads to the next.
Laurentia Smith, Eyewitness News.
Yeah, listening, first, let me just say this. To me, we need the police in the country, you know. They are very important because, you know, we're always going to have serious offenses. We're going to always have people break the law regardless of how much training or how much programs we put in place. There are just certain people, for certain reason, you know, will commit rape, will commit murder, will commit some type of heinous crimes. Our job as a society is to bring that mindset of people to a low level. So we don't need to have 100 sexual predators in Nassau. You know, we can have programs in place to reduce that tremendously and make it more likely to have so many predators on the road to cause so much harm to our country. You understand? So, boy. Let me see where to start. Oh, this will be... Okay, I think that the police itself, you know, are essential, you know, because they got to be by the courts. When we have events, you know, they have to be on the streets, like the caller was saying, hot spots and et cetera. And then we have people who commit heinous crimes and repeated offenders who come to prison and they go in a particular spot, and we call those spot hot spot, because where these young guys go, trouble follow. Wherever they go, there will be death and destruction. And the police plays their part when they get the information, they do the research, and then they go and tackle these issues. At the same time, they're dealing with some individuals who were like myself, you know, who, you know, grew up hard and probably didn't make the right choices in life. And they get caught up in the system. And they don't like the police, and the police don't like them. And in response of their violent actions, and they are serious criminals, the police, you know, would go at them extremely aggressive. Bear in mind that these young men also are aggressive, too. And there's a clash, and then sometimes you have shooting incidents where many BMs feel that their loved one was killed by the police. And they're saying, you know, he didn't have a gun. There are many cases we can say that, you know, that this incident happened. But in some cases, we could also say that guys were actually shooting at the police. And the police, and he had no choice but to return fire. But then in some cases, we have the police who kill innocent people. And that is because of the high rate of crime in the country, where we have 100 murders per year, So when the police is leaving the precinct and he's getting advice from the commissioner of police or the assistant commissioner of police or the superintendent who in charge of that particular area, he says to his officers, you know, we had four murders in this area. We had about seven shootings in the last month, you know, there. And we have some suspects who we think is involved in multiple incidents, including murder and drug dealing. They live certain in a particular area. So be cautious. You got to go home to your family. These young men are dangerous. Now he's going to say something else that is not going to be on record. He's going to say things like, hey, shoot first and walk, no question. He's going to say this is off the record. This is what, the officer is going to discuss to his officers in the with no presence of media. This is just him speaking to his officers because police is police. You understand? So you're going to say, you know, and that is only based on the fact that he knows of the high homicide rate in the country and how dangerous these young individuals are who are committing these crimes. And then on that end, we have some rogue police officers who themselves, when they go to the same criminal houses, at-risk young men, and when they go on these houses, they find money, they find phones, they find other stuff, and it goes missing. Sometimes drugs, and it goes missing. And this has been said many times. And I could say a prime example that happened to me a few times, okay, personally. So I can't say which officer, but this is a practice that still goes on today, okay? And if we're saying if the police did a good job in 2023, honestly speaking, the murder count is close to 100. If we didn't have the police in this country at this present time, despite all the bad cops, this country right now would be in probably anywhere facing like the 200 to 300 murders per year in this country if it wasn't for the police presence in this country. Honestly speaking, this country would be like 300 murders per year. You might don't believe to say, per capita, with over 100,000 plus people, the Bahamas is the most dangerous place in the world. When you look at it, because we're only 21 by 7, we have 100 murders. We have Jamaica that has over, what, every year, close to, what, 1,000 murders. Dominican Republic and places like that, murders in the hundreds and hundreds. But they have a high population of millions of people. Could you imagine us in the Bahamas, 21 by 7, less than a million here in the country? But we have 700 cases, but yet still we cover close to 100 murders per year. That means we are a conflict zone. You understand? So we are probably one of the most dangerous place in the world when it comes to black and black crime. You understand? So when you look at that, the police takes all that into consideration. Some of these police, you know, they don't look at us as citizens. You know, the police is a maternity, and when they leave from the police precinct, they enforce their authority, and sometimes they abuse their authority. And like I say, they go to houses sometimes and they remove stuff, and then some of them steal. Honestly speaking, some of them steal citizen stuff when they go and search their house. I can't say who officer or what officer, but this happens. And there are many reports of it happening in the city communities. So to say, you know, if the police did a good job in 2023, I think they have taken over close to 300 guns off the streets. If the police wasn't able to take 300 guns off the streets, those same 300 guns would have been equivalent adding up the 300 murders. You understand? So those same guns that the police end up taking off the streets in car stops or when they're searching somebody, when you hear where the police pull over a car and they end up firing a 9mm and an X pistol. Those places in the car was going to a nightclub or they was going to somewhere, a party, or going by their girlfriend. And if anyone mess with them, they could lay off it. So, in essence, they reduced crime. And if you ask me if they did a good job in 2023, I would say, yeah, based on getting those guns off the streets, they reduce crime. All right? But like I said, there's some improvement that needs to happen. You know, we have some unjustifiable killings that going on that we know as citizens, and even the police know, but they're never going to admit it. You understand? Because it's against their policy. They have to keep the system in place, whether it's right or wrong. You know, they'd beat around the bush and they'd find a way, even though they know the officers are guilty, but they'd find a way to break it down to manslaughter or do something, because it's a system. So suing the system, so if these police get bring guilty and you sue them, you're suing the government, so it comes with the treasury. And then they sign, these police sign contracts. So a lot of these unlawful killings, you know, they are the reason because the officers themselves are not properly well trained. They come from a background, just like the young man who owed their shooting gun. They join the police force and no proper training. We train them for 6 months, but we don't teach them about discipline. We don't teach them about hospitality. We don't teach them in response that, you know, if there's an accident, how should this officer respond? You know, if you shoot somebody, you would see in the United States of America, some of those officers are paramedics. They are police officers, but they're also paramedics. So if they shoot somebody, you'd see them there assessing the person, and then they would go themselves and tie a tunic, because their job is to protect and serve. But our police over here, they protect, but they don't really, they serve, but not in the capacity as how they're supposed to serve. You understand? So yeah, we have a lot of cases of unjustifiable murders happening in the country, and a lot of families in the country now are really mad at the police because they know they lost their loved ones, but at the same time, they are mad at the police because they know that their loved one is killed innocently, right? And some people just want an apology, you know, because the police are supposed to protect and serve. So when they look at all the evidence and they see that their child was innocent and the police are covering up, it sends a sour taste, and many people would, you know, be very disgruntled with the police, and they have their reasons. You understand? But the police serves their purpose. You understand? And they do go in people's homes when they, some of these officers, because they say some of these officers are real gangsters. You understand? Some of them are real, real gangsters. And because they know that they have immunity, they take advantage of these inner city homes. And they take advantage of suspects. And what they don't know, what is the fact when they do these stuff, is that they just make these guys more rough and tough. You know why I get so rough and tough? I get so rough and tough because the police used to brutalize us. You understand? They used to brutalize us, so we got rough and tough, and we started to rebel against the police. And then there were some officers who I knew personally, very decent officers, like former superintendent of police, Douglas Arnold, or former chief inspector, Warry Sanders, or assistant commissioner of police, Cash, you know, or B.K. Barnaby Jr. You know, there are many officers who I could call who I had a personal relationship, even though I was a bad boy on the streets, but I was always respectful to them. But what I saw going on the station, why is I was in there? If I didn't have my stripes, you know, that's why I could speak the way I speak, and that's why I'm thankful to Guardian for my past experience to be able to have this conversation with you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm doing all the BK Barnaby Jr. and et cetera. And they treat me with the utmost respect. But like I say, you have officers who do these rogue high incidents. You know, we need to be able to our discipline unit in the Royal Bahamas Police Force that deals with these matters, you know, in a timely fashion, where the citizen of the country can say there's a balance, you know. But we do need the police, you know. Until we could get that 100 murders down to about 50, until we could get the prison down from 1,700 down to 13, or I think it's 1,700. And then last time I listened to Mr. the acting commissioner of the prison, I think he said it was the population went down to 1,400. Until we get the prison population down to about 500 to 400 and keep on gradually drop, we're going to keep on seeing aggressive police. We're going to keep seeing aggressive young men who are at risk and females who are at risk. And we're going to keep on having a cycle. Because everything is measured by the prison. How you measure it by the prison? You know? I'd measure it by the prison. Unless the prison statistics goes down, hey, we continue to have some aggressive police officers who take innocent lives, you know, because of the situation of the high crime in the country. And because of the high crime in the country, the officers are going to be vigilant. And that's why they said innocent is going to suffer for the guilty. So that's why if there's a shooting in the area and you're walking around, the police coming and looking to see those gunshots, and you never seen you, you'd get a rash, you'd be walking, they choice, you could be coming from the pump or just coming from the store, and they had a gunshot. So the police will know who shooting off the gunshot. So when they come flying through and they see someone walking, you know, you might not react, you know, but the police, they vigilant, so they're looking at everyone. And you could be smoking your little drink, because you ain't checking for the gunshot going off. So when the car comes through, you know, you're smoking a drink. So when you see the police light, you know, you just break off running. So the police think it's you fire off the gun. You understand? So when the police jump with the car and you trying to get away because you have this little drink, but the police ain't know there's a drink. And then the gunshot and some of these police, they itchy finger. And it's spot dark and you running and you could fall on and they fire. They just fire at you and that's it for you. And that's what just happened. That's what they call it, a hot spot. Yeah. So we need to have accountability in our police department. And I mean real accountability. Because we have to be able to let the officers know you're doing an extremely dangerous job. We understand that, but you have to do your job professionally. And if they breach and be abusive in their duties, there should be a disciplinary system in place that technically deals with the attitude of that officer. And he can be dismissed on grounds of misconduct. You know, the same kind of enforcement we want is where we saw the young guy, the student, got harassed by two police officers by the mall. And he was very aggressive against a young kid, you know, who was in school uniform, two boys and a girl. And he was completely wrong. And they reprimand him. And we need discipline actions like that also. And then we also need for the country's top brass to really talk about these matters and explain to us exactly what happened and be honest with it. You know, the police could be at fault, but we can understand that there was a mistaken identity. It's better to say something than to lie and say the police is right when the citizen know themselves that based on the evidence and the talks going wrong, which talks don't really mean it's not, you need evidence, but the evidence that we receive is be concrete evidence. It's be the truth, you know? And it adds up. And it hurts people and gives us this deception that the police, you know, are protected. But we do need them. Ali, real quick, let's play the last one. We get one more real quick. That gone, eh? That's the one with the judge. I need the one. Don't worry about that one. And then this one saying the judges should be held accountable. Let me read this quick. No, that's all right. That's all right. Let me read it quick. And even the judges, see, it goes from the police to the judge. And I talked about that. Let me read it real quick. What is his name? Ryan Pindler said he support introducing a disciplinary system for the judiciary. Judges should be held accountable for misconduct like everyone else. His comments in the Senate yesterday came after Senator Michael Barnett Ellis called for a system where formal complaints can be made against judges. There are mistakes in the law which can be applied, and there is behavior which is inappropriate and impacts the confidence in the justice system, and that trust needs to be addressed. Now, there were reports of a certain judge, you know, financial dispute, and he was protected. And we heard it from the judge. We heard it from the police. We've seen it from the politician. Now we heard it from the judges. See? If the judge can do something wrong and he is protected, right? That is not true democracy. Because if he is guilty of something and is being protected because he is a judge or he's a top police or he's a politician, it sends a bad message to the rest of the population. But most importantly, we are spiritual. This disrupts the whole fabric. Now, you might think you might be getting away with it, right? In the flesh and blood. But spiritually, and the manifestation, you're destroying the country, you're bringing corruption. So that's why so much corruption is in our government. Because we're protecting people in these positions of judge and police and this and that and politics. And yet still we're persecuting the poor. We're persecuting those who are committing crime on a lower level. But when up to the hierarchy, they are protected. You know? And it's wrong. And these are the kind of stuff that we need to address in order to have a better country. And that's why I always talk about invisible stuff. Now we've seen a judge. You see? And he's protected. So, yeah. So I just want to say to each and every one of you, just change your mindset. If you open up your heart to the Father, and you really, really change your way of thought, stop believing in that gossip. All right? That gossip is the worst thing in the world. Go read the Bible. Talk about people. You understand? Change your ways and stop watching people's business or watch what people doing, you know? Watch what you do and try to better yourself, you know? And if you do so and you start to change your mind, the Father will line you up with people who you never expect to come and help you on your journey. You understand? So I'd just like to say to each and every one of you a very wonderful night. I'd like to say again to my friend Sparky and crew. Did a wonderful job. 52, all the different callers. I'd like to give a shout out to my friend Kelsey Lundy, a.k.a. Scrooge. Now, many people has called me Scrooge. My actual name is Scoochie, okay? And a European gave me the name Scrooge, but the original Scrooge is my friend Kelsey Lundy. He was the former leader of the former gang, Rebellion Raiders. And we are good friends now. He resides in Ross Corner. I mean, Ross and Gibbs Corner. He has a wonderful wife named Melissa. Their bar and restaurant is open tonight. You can also go and enjoy yourself on Gibbs Corner. It's a wonderful restaurant and bar. And I'd like to give a shout out to him and his wife. And know we become good friends. And he was my enemy. And now, both of us were leaders. And now we are the best friends. So that's His name is Scrooge, Kelsey Lundy. My name is actually Valentino Brown Scucci, but they call me Scrooge. I have so much name. I have MP, Mayor, Dottie, man, Tree Mo. So I have many different names. You take this last call? Caller, you could do it real quick. Go ahead, caller. They there? Go ahead, caller. I guess they left. And so my cousin, Ronnie Hanna, I was trying to remember, Pastor Ronnie Hanna on East Street. I want to say a special good night to you as well, my cousin, Ronnie Hanna. All right? Let me see what else I can say before I go. And again, my good friend, John Stott, known as John Bow, who always giving back on Market. I mean, Blue Little Road. On Martin Street, Mr. John Bow, for the many years of support what he has been doing for me and the community. What else? And I think that's it for the night. You got his call? Let me see if I get his call real quick. Call on, you can make it real quick.
Sparky call in last call.
Yeah, you got to make it quick, Sparky, all the time.
Get me in there.
Harry, go ahead, Spark.
Hey, Mo.
Go ahead, you got to make it quick, Spark.
That's good.
Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
Okay, Scott. Merry, merry Christmas to you, your family. Merry New Year. Sparky is the last caller for the year. May the Noble Valley boys stop the Saxons.
No, what about the... Oh, my God, good.
Look at
leave the one family alone, leave us one family alone, eh? Leave us one family alone yet. Put it on the Saxon.
Don't worry about Darren. Darren is my nephew.
All right, okay.
Now, hold on. I took the Valley Boys first battle in 1958.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 1958.
Okay. 65 years. We coming out of New York with all of my mother.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. Tell Walla. Powder. The schools. Look at it. I am sick of it. It should be against the law. The Walla come out basically with the same crowd every year.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Willa, tell Willa, be sick and tired of the king. Be sick and tired of the queen and the king. We have African people from Africa. We are sick and tired of the white kings and queens.
Yes, sir.
Tell Willa, take that crown off your head now.
Thank you.
Tell Willa, bring it back to Africa.
Okay.
No crown. Willa, my bigger. Stop it.
Thank you, Mary. That's Sparky. And you yourself enjoy.
It's good.
Hey.
I come in mind by you soon.
Okay, then. I'll be waiting on you.
Let's say it like that. Look at all them. See, the problem at Junkanoo, you're the problem at Junkanoo.
Hey.
All the judges is Valley Boy, is Saxon. all the judges in Junkanoo,
yeah,
is Saxons. That's why the Valley Boys don't come in.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Bob.
Everybody, all the judges are Saxon.
Yes, sir. Thanks very
and
much.
The Prime Minister is a body boy.
And what happened to Minister? When Minister, former Prime Minister, was a Saxon?
Minister?
Yeah.
Minister, they got
him
in the back
line ringing
the bell.
You got him, mom.
Minister in the back line ringing the bell. He's a Saxon in the back line. I know Minister. They put Minister way in the back line.
Okay.
He can't even ring bell. I know the whole life of sliding them right down.
Okay.
I know. I took the Valley Boys first battle in 1958. But I know everybody from the Saxons from Willa straight to the back line.
Thank you very much. I completely own the time, man, Sparky. I really appreciate you, man.
Willa, don't come to mention that crowd again now.
Okay, sir. Enjoy.
Let me ask you. Sure, you're tired of seeing Willa in the crowd. See you later.
Okay, Sparky. I want to, you know, and I was talking with Junkanoo real quick. I completely out of time. And, you know, Sparky's up on the show, you know. Wally all the way. Sparky's, they tell Wally don't go on Bay Street. You know, I'm a one family. You know, we just went through straight. We looking to try and see if we can win it again. It's going to be real tough. So I want to encourage each and every Junkanoo group, the one family, the Saxon, the Roots, and all those groups to give it your best. And Jess, to the best teams that put in the best performance. And enjoy. Enjoy all of this. And we'll see you next week on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you, everyone who listen. and enjoy the holidays and be safe. Good night, everybody.
I represent Bingham people. I from Nassau Bahamas, Bigger Bean and Bro.